listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's the 10th of July, 2022. I hope you're enjoying this lovely weather. It's very humid, very warm here in the studio. All the equipment on, the heat's pumping out everywhere. So I have to open up a few doors and windows to get a bit of air and a bit of circulation. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in and logging into the chat room there. Good evening to everybody on the chat room there. Now, my guests on the show tonight, I have two guests on the show tonight. My first guest is a lady called Leah Ray. Leah has been on the show before, and Leah actually offered me another reading, which is fantastic. Thanks to Leah for doing that, because when I asked her to come on the show, she said, would you like a reading before we do the show? And I said, that'd be fantastic, Leah, thanks for that. So we did. Leah did a reading for me, Jordan Riggs, so we'll be talking about that. And my second guest about 8:30 will be a chap called Sifu Nick Costello. And Nick runs the Sholin Temple in Slane in County Meath. And I've been popping over there to see Nick because of, you know, a couple of aches and pains that I have, and Nick's been treating me over there, which has been great. So hopefully we'll get Nick on. Now, he's not an expert with Skype at all, so we'll see how we get on, but that should be around the 8:30 mark. We'll have a talk with Nick. But before we move on and find out about the other bits and pieces that I'm going to be talking about, let's find out what the communication channels are.
The communication channels are email, contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046-927-1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
Okay, folks, you know the website, circleofwhitelightradio.com, on patreon.com/COOWLR, and PayPal as well. Thank you for your donations. It's much appreciated. We allocate them, our portion of the donations each month, to a worthy cause. And also, T-shirts are available. If you want a T-shirt, it's €10 plus postage and packing. Send us an email to contact us at circleofwhitelight.com. And also, if you want to subscribe to the website, pop over to the website, type in your email, and you'll be kept up to date of anything that are going on, any information, or any donations and stuff like that. Right. Now, I still have a little bit of a cough, folks. It's going, but it's still there, so I'll apologise every now and again if it goes quiet. I have a glass of water here beside me as well, so hopefully that'll be enough for tonight. Anyway, right, just a couple of things to go through. I found out after the show last week that my co-host on OIM Radio, Steve, his father had passed away on the Sunday evening, so last Sunday evening. So condolences to Steve and the family. I did pop down to the church service, and I had a chat with Steve, so it was sad to hear about it, because I know Steve's dad. I met Steve's dad, George, and Steve and his dad used to work together and do work all the time. I think he was about 80 at the time. That's how old he was. So you know, Steve was, you know, optimistic, you know, and he said, look, you know, his dad had a few operations on the heart and stuff like that. And he said himself, he said he was on borrowed time. So it was just sad when a family member passes over, you know. So condolences to Steve and the family for his dad passing over. It was basically literally after the show last week that I found out about it. So I thought I'd give a mention tonight. Now, the other thing that happened during the week, and I'm sure you've all seen it because it's all over the internet, the Georgia Guidestones have been knocked down after, well, apparently it was supposed to be an explosion or a pipe bomb, but other people are saying that it's a direct energy weapon that caused it. And I know people are saying, oh, it's the White Hats that did it. Really? Was it the White Hats that did it, or was it just another a sleight of hand trick by the cabal? To keep people distracted, because all I see on Facebook, on the internet, is talking about the Georgia Guidestones. You know, as I say, I'll talk about what happened? Was it a thunderstorm? Was it a pipe bomb? Was it a directed energy weapon? I don't know. There's a lot of speculation there. But we, for people who don't know the Georgia Guidestones, there's these 10 stones apparently in Georgia in America. And it's written in 12 languages. And one of them is to keep the population of the planet down to 500 million in accordance to nature or something. So they're actually telling us what they wanted to do. They were put up in the 1980s, I think, and nobody knows who put them up. So if you go on the internet and type in Georgia Guidestones, you'll see them, but they've been knocked down now. So don't be too quick. I'm just saying, don't be too quick to think that was the white hats and all that kind of stuff. Let's kind of analyse it first before we go down that road, okay? Okay, my week. Right, how is everybody feeling these days? The human frequency is quiet at the moment, but it's been very active over the last few weeks. I feel it's like we are waiting for something to happen. I don't know what, but something. Maybe when I speak to Leah, we can shed some light on the subject, because there's a lot to talk about energy, solar flares, and the whole 3D, 5D Earth and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I mean, if you go on YouTube and type it in, it's full of it. Everybody seems to be talking about it. And everybody has their own speculation as to when, if it's going to happen and when it's going to happen. Obviously, timelines and all that you have to be very careful of. So, without further ado, let's bring in my guest. I'm going to have a chat with Leah. Now, Leah has been blessed with the opportunities to train and study with various healers, shamans and energy workers throughout her life to hone her skills. She's been actively participating in various healing arts for over 30 years. As an empath, Leah uses her gift and intuitive skills in order to connect in the multidimensional fields of energy to assist her clients and attune to their bodies to help them achieve their ultimate goals. Leah is passionate about empowering clients to find their own individual holistic healing abilities in order to achieve inner peace, optimum health, strength and balance. In sessions, Leah connects to the Akashic realm, reaching clients, masters, teachers and guides in order to find the highest vibrational healing frequency for each person. Most clients are given healthy suggestions through movement, meditation, whole foods and spiritual mindful practices. Loved ones and ancestors from the spirit realm are also welcome to share wisdom with each client during the session in order for sacred ancestral healing to take place. Leah would love to help you discover your true soul's path and help you step into your own magnificent power. She would be honoured and grateful to be a part of your exciting journey to know thyself. Good evening, Leah. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm honoured to be here. Thank you.
Leah, thank you very much for coming on. And I said this to you before we went live, and I want to say it again for the listeners to appreciate how focused you are, how humbled you are doing what you're doing, and how service to others you are. Folks, I've been doing radio for 12 years, all right? And I've interviewed a lot of people, as most of you know. A lot of people have been along the journey with me and Steve and OIM and now Circle of White Light. And in all the time, and yes, I've had spiritual people who have been on the show, and, you know, so, and most of them have said, look, I've never been on your show before. I'm going to do a reading. I'll do a reading for you, a mini reading, and then we'll do the show. Leah, in 12 years, Leah is the first one. When I emailed Leah and I said, Leah, would you like to come on the show and we'll do another show and talk about things? Leah is the only one that actually turned around and said, would you like another reading before we do the show for Sunday? And I want to take my hat off to Leah for doing that, because that really tells me a lot about Leah as a person and her interest in helping others. And there's no ego involved there. So, Leah, I thank you for doing that.
Oh, my gosh. No, I'm just honored and grateful that you have such a beautiful way of sharing the information and sharing your voice with others. And I'm just, I wish I could have enough money in the bank where I could just give things all the time without having to receive. But it's energy. So I learned over the years, like, you have to give and you have to receive. Even it's just all an energy, beautiful exchange.
Yeah, it's an exchange of energy. And I've had, and I said to Leah, I've had people who are spiritual, and I said, well, can you do a mini reading for me so I can kind of prove that you can do what you can do? And they said, oh, no, I won't be able to do that. And I'm thinking, so you want to come on the show and you want me to promote what you do and you won't give me a reading to prove that you can do what you can do? And I know that sounds nutty, folks. I know that sounds mad. You think, you know, an exchange of energy and mini reading. But I've had people who have said that. And as Leah said to me, and I think you're right, Leah, maybe that energy wasn't right for the radio show and maybe that's just the way it was. So a big thank you for doing the reading, Leah. And Leah did a reading for me during the week. And again, it was, we were on for about an hour talking about everything and anything on the reading, information that was coming through. You scan me, health scan, you scan for anybody outside who might be trying to get into my energy. There was one individual or one entity who was hanging around my energy field, and I think, Leah, you moved them on. I know you don't remember all the readings and the details of the readings, but do you remember that part?
Yeah, thank you. Once you mention it, that's when I'll get a visual of it. So yeah, there was a bugger that was hanging around waiting for you to go into a lower frequency so they could just kind of latch onto you. But yeah, that was cleared. Thank God.
So we did talk about, and you just said it there, the fact that, you know, I feel I have a high energy. And when these lower energies come in and they see my energy, they go, yeah, I'm not going to waste my time with him. His energy's too high. I won't be able to get in there. But thanks to Leah, I just said, Leah, can you just check to make sure that there's no kind of critters hanging around trying to get in just on the day that my energy just might drop below or go down to a certain frequency. And then that's when they jump in. And so thanks for doing that, Leah. And again, I'm not going to go into detail because it's a private reading, but it was very interesting with the information that you came through. And the thing is, I have been involved in the spiritual side of things. So I know a good reading and I know a bad reading, you know, and I know Leah gave me a very good reading and she was very accurate and she went into detail. And that's when you know a good reading. And it was, I just found it quite interesting. Now, I'm not going to go into detail of the reading because there's personal information there. But over the time you're doing readings for people, I mentioned there earlier on about the internet is now full of people talking about everything from solar flares to 5D to 3D and everything else. What's your general take on all of that stuff? How do you feel about that? And have you had any information coming in to confirm or deny any of that information?
Well, yeah, when a few years ago I started to just I would try to scan the earth and try to send love to the earth. And there'd be a lot of information when I would do that. I would usually do it with some of my other friends that also do energy work. But I would get a lot of information about their beautiful energy, kind of like portals, it looked like, to get into the 5D realm or the 4D realm. And then they'd be blocked off. And so it was like this constant almost, to me, they look like beautiful tunnels of energy, like almost like a wind tunnel going to the 4D or 5D energies. But then there would be another force that was trying to block it. And so those would be shut down. But recently, I've been trying to, I don't go on media much anymore because I want the information to be as clear to me as possible, what's being sent to me or visual. I get visuals. So I usually, I get information in each session. So people ask more about their timeline. And if they're, some are very galactic and they're hanging out in 5D all the time. And then some are more in the 3D and they're trying to work with raising their frequency to get into the 4D. And so I usually get the information when I'm in the session. So go figure, I normally forget the session within a day.
Yeah, I know it's very hard to remember everything there. I'm sure that the amount of sessions you're doing, trying to remember. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting that everything these days seems to be the whole idea of the solar flash and the 3D to 5D and the energies and being careful with that and who you're around. And everybody's feeling the ascension symptoms, the aches and pains. And, you know, I'm feeling that myself. And I suppose.
Oh, sorry. There's a dog.
Oh, sorry.
We're going to let him out.
That's okay.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. I was just wondering what that was in the background.
Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Do you want to let him out?
Yep, that's a beautiful red lab. He's usually with me during readings too. So, yeah, it's fun. Anyway, sorry.
That's okay. No problem at all. So, we're hearing all about these ascension symptoms and everything else. But for people who are new to what you do and the Akashic mm-hmm. Records, explain to them what they are, because I'm sure they've probably heard about the, you know, heard on the internet there are people talking about it. But go on, it gives a bit of detail about what they are and how you tap into them.
Okay. So we all have the ability to tap into it. I just want to let you know that. Because a lot of people think, oh, you have this gift and everything. I have gifts in other ways in terms of being an empath, which I also believe everyone can tap into too. So I just want to let people know this is also accessible for them. It's just learning how to tap into it. So I didn't really start charging people until years of me practicing and making sure that the energy that I was sharing and also the words that were given to me were as accurate as possible. Because I used to be very shy about sharing what I did. And then finally, I even had a reading the other day, or let's say a month ago, that the person said, you need to just enjoy and let it flow, because the more you flow in it, the more it just comes out without hesitation. So what I do is I have to say a prayer of protection, and that will keep the person and I that I'm reading for in only love and light frequency. And I say this prayer out loud, and I ask permission to access their records, which people believe it's somebody's book of life. It's the soul's journey, and all of the information of the soul is left in this library that is the Akashic Record realm. So it's an infinite amount of information, but the soul's past lives, future lives, present life experiences are all in this library. So I first have to ask permission to enter. And then once I receive, I'm allowed to enter and access the person's library, then I usually get visuals. And so what I do is I just start sharing whatever's being shown to me. When I first started, I would get nervous and say, this doesn't make sense to me. So I had to step aside and I just basically say, this is what's being shown. And, does it resonate? And basically we go on from there. So the person can participate as much as he or she would like, meaning they can jump in and ask questions. They can ask, about anything from body aches and pains, or why do I have such a anxious feeling around this person, or what is my life going to look like in 2 months in terms of my career? So there's so many variables, but it's really whatever that person needs. And the funny part is I always tell clients, can you please just write out a list of questions that you want answered? And I usually ask them to hold on to their questions. Usually their guides will want to answer them before they're even asked. So towards the end of the session, I always just jump in and say, is there anything that the guides didn't answer? And they'll say, oh, there's one more, or there's this, or, oh no, they already answered everyone, but I just came up with a new question. So it's kind of fascinating because everyone's session is completely different. And it's so beautiful because I had one client that would call on a weekly basis for a year. And every time I was like, I wonder what they're going to say. They kind of tell her a lot in each session. And they totally tell her new things every time, which was, it's just beautiful.
Yeah, you would think that, because there's people addicted to readings. And mm-hmm. I know sometimes, people who are addicted to readings go and think that every time they go to a reading, they get a different answer if they didn't mm-hmm. like the one previously. But, that's not the case. I mean, if you get an answer on one thing, chances are you're going to get the same answer again from the reading. But right. There's no harm, I suppose, leaving a gap of 6 months and going back and doing a reading. I didn't know that you kind of did the future stuff, and I was conscious that you were, again, giving me a reading as part of an exchange of energy, and we were an hour in. And I did have mm-hmm. a few other questions, but I didn't want to go beyond the hour, because I think that's, an hour is enough for anybody to give a reading, and it takes a lot of energy out of you as well. So I think, I know you said you had one guy that did 4 hours with you. My God, that's an awful lot of energy to be taking. I bet you were tired after that.
Oh my gosh, I think I slept 12 hours after that one. Because if I used to live by the ocean, so I would have to jump in the ocean to get my energy back. And sometimes, if it was something like a battle of like with a lower frequency and trying to clear entities, that takes me a long time to clear. But with this person, it was so much fun, but it was still exhausting. I had to go to the ocean and then I slept 12 hours. So, but it was good because I feel it's more like gaining. If you go to the gym and you're working out your muscles, it's kind of like the more you do it, the more you can almost get prepared. But I had to learn the hard way that I need to be completely grounded. I would go to the ocean to clear before sessions and then after sessions. And so if I didn't do some of my specifics, I could be wiped out for days.
Okay. And when it comes to negative energies and attachments, or demonics maybe, how do you deal with that? I mean, have you tuned into somebody and all of a sudden does something there stopping them or trying to attack you, trying to stop you doing what you're doing?
Well, when I was massaging people, that would show up a lot. So I would have to protect myself when I would touch people because I didn't want to have to interrupt the massage to basically clear them out of the room. Or it was just a heavy exchange because I was touching the person. But a lot of times their entities would jump out at me. So I learned how to figure out how to maneuver in that realm. But now that I do most of my work over the phone, like, for example, I had somebody yesterday from Chile that actually he was from Peru but living in Chile, and he had an attachment. And I ended up what I do is I like to go over people's body anyway with to see their chakra energy and just go through their aura. So usually I'll find it then. Thankfully you asked the other day to go through yours, cause it was on yours and I didn't even get to that yet. But with this particular gentleman yesterday, he asked how he could how he could get rid of this really heavy energy of just being tired all the time. So then I just went and okay, I said, let's scan your energy. Let's see, what the guides are saying. And the guide showed right away that he had an attachment. And that was the reason it was like he had zero energy throughout the day. So we cleared that and he felt like a completely different person. And he felt his hands sweating during that time. And because I use a translator with clients that speak Spanish, because I don't speak Spanish, my girlfriend, her hands were sweating during the time the clearing was occurring. So, it's just fascinating, but usually it will show up in the reading. And then I have to, normally the person's higher self always wants the entity gone. But what I found the hard way too, with people that use insane amounts of drugs, like the heavy drugs, not like the natural drugs, they can get energy attachments that way. So, they usually don't want them to go is what I found. Like these are more drug addicts, I should say, not like
the low frequency,
yes.
People. Yeah.
They usually don't.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important for people to be checked every now and again, because funny enough, when Tracy did a reading for me and she checked for anybody hanging around, she said there was a spirit of a little girl around me. And it wasn't negative or anything like that, because sometimes spiritually, and you know this, Leah, there are spirits out there who are attracted but to a person's energy, just for the reason why it's just like they like their energy, and it's not negative. But so this little girl was obviously attracted to my energy, and I said to Tracy, I said, look, find out who she is, because she could be a family member or something like that passed over. And Tracy said, no, she's not giving me any information at all. She's just hiding behind you. And I said, well, then it's time to move her on to the light, because there's no point in her hanging around if we don't know who she is and what she wants. So Tracy moved her on. And as you did the other day, except the other day, the person who was around me was obviously trying to get in. I don't know who they were. So I would say to everybody, if you haven't had any readings and scans of your body, it's important that you do that, because Even Alba Weinman, who does regressional hypnotherapy, she finds entities attached to people, and they have a pain in the shoulder or their leg or something, and she speaks to the entity and then tells the entity to move on and go. Mm-hmm. And obviously you do the same thing, Leah. People trying to get in to get the higher self to remove them, because they will pull your energy down. So if there's anything that you do in the reading, get your chakras scanned, check your aura scanned, make sure that it's clear, and then obviously then do the reading. And I suppose that you could do past, present and future, depending on what time you have. But I think that would be good for everybody. But the future thing, you have to be careful with, because it could be, are you seeing a potential timeline?
Correct.
How does it work?
It's usually how they usually, the guides usually want everyone to be in their highest frequency at all times. So they will show a version of the person in the highest frequency that could is a possibility. So it basically plants a beautiful seed of, you know, this is what's possible and this is what you're capable of, or this is what your future can bring, you know, if you really want it, or if you start to attune yourself to that frequency and head in that direction. Some people, like I had one woman, she was this beautiful soul that loved animals, and she studied to be around, what are they? I guess more cattle or larger animals. And she had this beautiful degree. She was this empath with animals, but she didn't know where to go with her, this wisdom and this knowledge. And all she needed was a few options to head her in the right direction. So her guides said, look, you can go in this route, and this route, and any of them will make sure your heart is open. And it's basically allowing someone to be in their heart space at all time and be in the full love energy and the love exchange. So they gave her three options, and she was like, oh my gosh, that the second option is one that I've been dreaming about since I was a little girl, you know, and this was something I had in my mind since I was a little girl, what I wanted to do. So the guides like to pick out what's really going to help that person be in a happy, beautiful, joyous space, you know, for their future.
So the best possible timeline for that person. And how do they, what do they need to do to make sure they get onto that timeline to make that happen?
Well, ironically, a lot of people need to either get into a certain movement energy. For example, some people need to start either working out more or drinking more water or just get into a space. Some people explained that they need to go and hug trees and like let go of their anger or their worry with the tree. Some people are given homework to go and walk their dogs or go run with their dogs. And they're like, oh, I used to run. And one man, he started to drink too much and his marriage was falling apart. And he was just sad because that's not who he was. And they showed, you're supposed to be running with your wife and have the baby in this, you know, great carriage, the running carriages that you both can go run together. And you're supposed to be doing this before work. And that's going to be bring your wife and you back into this beautiful space together. And he started crying because he said, I met my wife on the high school track team. We haven't ran since then. So it's just beautiful how they usually give people homework so that they can get into the momentum of, going forward in that direction of what's best for them.
Yeah, I think my kind of homework was, one, to get out and walk more, which I've started to do, especially with the weather the way it is. It's quite good. Get out into nature. That's quite easy because I live out the country anyway, so it's not too bad. And you said that I was very cerebral, which I am. I know I am. And the thing is, I have to kind of not move away from it, but just to keep in mind that I also have a body and it's not just all about the brain.
Yeah. Well, it's hard. It is hard, I think, for spiritual people to remember that, you know, we do have to take care of our body and treat it like it can help us be even more spiritual. Like I used to love to just not even think of my body so much. I'd rather be out floating around or, you know, in the Akashic realm all day. And then I realized, oh, I can't sit on my couch for 5 hours giving sessions without making sure I'm eating enough or making sure I would paddleboard every day just to clear people's energies. And But I forgot I have to do it for myself too. Like, I totally would forget, oh, I have to do my stuff too.
Yeah, exactly. We have to work on ourselves. Now, one of the things I did ask you was, I've been on the astral twice, but that was a bad experience. So I wasn't too kind of bothered about that. I knew what that was about. But one of the things that I was, spirit gave me was, they gave me the feeling of what 5D, what I feel 5D was, the energy, that love energy. And I wanted to stay there. And it's kind of, they said, well, we're going to give you a sample of it, but you can't stay there. And I said it to you about what was that. And you were right. You said, if you did stay there, because the 3D density is very heavy. And when you go to the 5D with that love and energy, I mean, it was phenomenal. Folks, if you've never experienced it, it was a phenomenal energy. And they kind of said, we're going to give you a little sample, but that's all you can have. And you said something that's very important here. You said, if you stayed there, you wouldn't want to come back. And I said, spot on. I didn't want to come back. Even that quick few seconds I was there, I just wanted to stay there. And
yes.
And they obviously said, no, Alan, you're going to sample it, but that's about all. And I thought, I was so depressed after, you know,
yes.
thinking, you know, that energy. But you're right. You'd want to stay there.
Yes. Yeah. And it's funny because it's making me, you're reminding me of some people's sessions where some people are either suffering or in pain energetically in their body because it's too much for them in the body. To be in the 3D sometimes. And so their homework is to meditate, and they would give them a whole beautiful spiritual, sacred healing space that was like, I could see it because the guides would show me, but they would make sure that this person would have a meditation where they could go there and feel it and be in it and have access to it, you know, every day, even if it was just a 10-minute meditation to go to their sacred healing space. And it would be described in such a beautiful way that the person knew exactly what, because everyone has a different space. So they were given that as homework to, they can access it at any time whenever they are either overwhelmed or stressed or in pain or can't sleep. So it's beautiful because the guides want people to be able to feel that love space. Yeah, but you're right. We have work to do apparently here on the earth plane. So we can't stay there.
Yeah, it's a pity because it was fantastic. Okay, got a couple of questions for you here. By the way, myself and Leah also said we were making a commitment because from a Circle of White Light Radio point of view, folks, I know I broadcast every Sunday live, and it's great having people on the chat room, but there's a time that I might have to switch over to do pre-record videos, okay? Just to let you know, I don't know when that's going to happen, but it's coming down the line because it's been mentioned to me by multiple sources, spiritual as well, that that's my trajectory is to do video pre-records like what you see on YouTube. I'm not happy about it. It's not me, but apparently this is what I have to do. And Leah also has to come out from behind the microphone and be in front of the camera. So the two of us said maybe in a few weeks' time, or maybe when the time's right, the two of us will do a video interview with each other. Well, I'll interview Leah, but we'll be on video and you'll see both of us as a pre-record. What do you think, Leah?
Oh my gosh, I would be honored. And it's something too that it's been told to me many times, and I'm very shy just as a person. But again, I'm like, if it's going to help get the message out there of what we can do to live a happier, more joyous life or more enlightened life or whatever people are looking for, then I'm here to be of service. It's just something that makes me happy and it makes me grateful just to be able to help someone feel better. So if that's my job and if that's part of the journey of being in front of the camera, then I have to say yes.
Well, I'm going to ask the listeners on the chat room, how would you feel about seeing my ugly mug on a pre-record, you know, face for radio and all that, but I'll let you guys decide on the chat room. You can leave your message in there And I promise I won't beat you out of the chat room if you say something bad. okay, let's go over to the questions. Critical Ali wants to know, question for Leah. I have asked this question with previous guests. Has Leah ever used or does she know about Akashic records being accessed via Nadi leaves in India? Apparently you can visit and they will bring all your Akashic records written in plant leaves. I had a neighbor who went and the info was particularly poignant and accurate.
That's really beautiful. I think it's funny. It's beautiful that the person's asking this because I've asked so many questions throughout my journey and finally just opening up to the Akashic. I think the Akashic can be accessed that way. And I feel, you know, psychics access the Akashic records a lot of times, but they won't tell you that, you know, because that they're getting many different energies around them to give information. But I feel that there's many tools that, like, some people, I've met people that throw bones. I've met people that throw shells. And I feel they're accessing the Akashic. I feel, though, the difference is when I do my readings, I surround myself and the client with love and light frequencies. And I'm only asking in the realm, the Akashic realm, through the love and light frequency. I feel that sometimes some people are, like, for example, psychics or other people that have gifts, they're accessing a lot of information around them, and it may not be through only love and light, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, you have to be very careful. I mean, especially when it comes to channeling, because a lot of people, and I know they're, when they're new to channeling, they don't seem to understand that channeling can also be given, you'd be given the wrong information because there's, you know, voiceless skull technology.
Right.
You know, people are aware of that. Most people aren't. Most channels aren't. So you have to be very careful and make sure that whatever you do, you have to have a method to make sure that the information coming in is obviously genuine. And I'm sure, as you say, you do your ritual before you do a reading to make sure that's the case, which is very important. Okay, John wants to know, when you ask the entity to move on, do they attach themselves to another person or where do they move to?
Oh, that's a great question. No, I always circle them in a white divine sacred net. I call upon Archangel Michael because when I was doing energy work on massage clients, Archangel Michael showed up one day with another angel and cleared somebody's energy with this net. To me, it looked like one of those tennis, those nets you would see at a tennis match. And I was, you know, new to, I was opening up my senses more and I had a mentor. And so I was new to a lot of these visuals of, so I ran to my mentor and I said, I don't understand this. These two angels showed up. There was like a tennis net and it just, they cleared this lady's energy because she was so depressed. And they did it about 30 times and she was like a different person. And I said, I don't know who these angels are. And she goes, oh, that's my Archangel Michael. He brings his net. And then I read another healer's book on how she would call in the net. And so I always ask Archangel Michael to assist and ask him to take anything that's not serving the highest good of that person, especially the attachment. And I have that attachment wrapped in the light and the love with the net. And then Archangel Michael escorts that energy as well as the energies that are not serving the highest good of that person into the light. So it gets recycled into the light.
Okay. Are you seeing this in your mind's eye with your third eye of Archangel Michael doing this? Or are you just asking for it to be done?
Oh no, I'm seeing it. Cause the way I worked when I would do massage therapy and when I did energy work is I didn't want to read books about stuff. I just wanted things to happen. So I would ask, you know, allow me to help this person any way possible, you know, in the love frequency. And so energies would show up. So then I would have to research some of the energies because I would ask some of them, what is your name? Are you, a lot of female energies would show up, and I would ask, what is your name? And one energy said, Lady Bernadette. So I had to Google after. I would take notes during massages, and I would Google, and it was Lady of Lords. And the clients were my regulars, so I was open, I could talk to them. So then one of my clients said, I can't believe you just said that, because my mom and I were booking flights to France last night, and we wanted to go to the Lourdes of France to get holy water. So it's weird stuff like that, but I always ask the energy who it is. Okay. Or, well, I try to.
And do they appear the same every time they show up?
Sometimes a little bit, no, like, but usually, like, I would have Lady of Guadalupe show up a lot. I lived in Florida, so Miami. So some people that would honor Lady of Guadalupe a lot, the energy of Lady of Guadalupe would show up. And so certain times they would look exactly the way they always did.
Excellent. Okay. So I have another question from Peter here. And mm-hmm. Peter says, can shungite, I don't know whether you know about shungite, apart from healing you, can it stop entity attachments while shungite is doing its other useful work? Thank you, Leah.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love shungite. I usually ask the guides what the person needs to make sure that their home or their room is protected. So it's funny because, for you, Ellen, they gave you specifics, which is really cool, because I've never seen the way them explain it the way where you're supposed to place it, which is really beautiful. A lot of people, yes, shungite, a lot of times they're told black tourmaline and selenite. They're just like the basic ones that can be like quick ones. I've always heard beautiful things about shungite, and sometimes their guides are telling them specifics to get it. And sometimes they're told to wear it around their heart chakra as well, because a lot of times people would put the crystals in their pockets, but what the guides say is it's best to have the crystals on the skin and in on the body, so that the crystal can absorb any of the energies that are not serving them, and the crystal can do the main work. And then you, of course, clear the crystal when you get home. You take it off, and that's just something that the crystal can help. It's a stronger, let's say, force field.
Yeah, because Peter just mentioned on the chat room here about he has, he says, John, I have my belt and also two patches. So a shungite or tourmaline belt, in like a belt buckle that you could wear all the time. I mean, I normally have a shungite pendant. I don't have it on me at the moment, but I normally wear a shungite pendant all the time. And the tourmaline is what you came through on the reading. Apparently, I need to get more tourmaline in my house and put it around certain places, which I think is a good idea. But definitely the shungite buckle.
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, Peter. Well done for that idea. I'll have a look at that, because I like making my buckles. I have a bit of fun making buckles. So a shungite buckle, you know, put them inside and you can wear it and it's there. That I think that'd be pretty cool. I might have a look at that, actually, as a good idea. So cheers for that, Peter. Okay, and let me see. Okay, just everybody's talking about the move to video, and Peter recommends that I should have a new wig each week on camera. Yeah, you never know. I might put the old glasses and the mustache on, you know, or I'll have a different wig. I don't know.
That'd be fun.
Just have a bit of a wind up, you know, just have a bit of a laugh. I really don't know, folks, what way it's meant to go or what way we're meant to do. I'm just not a person for video, but this is what I've been told by spirit, and on multiple occasions, not just from Leah. So, you know, I suppose we'll see what happens anyway. Look, we don't know. Maybe by this time next week we'll be in 5D. We don't have to worry about it. I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen. So what's the news at the moment? Is there any of the news that's come through regarding readings that you have that you think our listeners would benefit from? I mean, with the energies the way they are, I mentioned it earlier in the show about the human frequency and people feeling ascension symptoms. I personally think if people can afford it, that they should do at least one reading with somebody just for their own peace of mind. If they have something on the mind you want to find out about, either in the past or in the present or in the future, if they want to check the chakras clear and the energies around, just in case. If you can afford it, then I would recommend getting a reading done, because you never know. You know, people do have questions on their mind, and they just and it can be renting space in their mind, especially when it's negative. And you don't really want to be renting space to negative energy. So maybe a reading might be a good idea. Have you had anybody approach it where that kind of happened, where they something was clarified in the reading for them, which actually removed any energy, negative energy that they had?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for some reason, I keep having this image of the family I worked with in Australia. So I guess I have to talk about it, because I think it might be too broad, but I think it might answer your question. Last year, I had a woman reach out from Australia, and she was living in a part of Australia where they were really very militant, and they were telling people they had to stay in, and it was a very low, low frequency around her house. She and her husband tried to keep the house inside really high, but anytime they walked out of the house, it was like almost like it felt like 2D energy. It was just a fear space. I get visuals of staticky energy or arrows being pointed at somebody if it's like if it's poisonous in a way of it will harm them. So around their whole house, like, it was just this fear space, and they were choosing not to get vaccinated, and they were choosing for their kids not to. But so I worked with them for a year, because the whole year they kept reaching out and saying, well, now the kids are getting force vaxxed on a bus and we have to move. And so for the whole year they were told they're going to move. They just have to figure out when. And the woman that had sold them the house, she had passed on. She was helping to guide them. Mm-hmm. And she had gifted them this beautiful tree that they really honored. And it was in the front of their house. And they kept showing where this tree is going to be. And so they kept calling me in a fear and panic. And then the wife was getting ill, like stomach aches. The husband wasn't sleeping. So they were really in this really horrible static energy space that was now affecting the inside of their home. So after about 6 months, they kept missing out on bids, because their guides told them there's a freedom land, and they had me draw out on a map where the freedom land was. So they had a realtor help them, and they kept missing out, and they were showing, oh, you're missing out by 20,000 every time. And they said, yeah, exactly. So they decided to hire a company to help find the house for them that was going to be 20,000 extra. And anyway, point being, they went from this low, low, low frequency to, I think a few months ago they reached out and they said, they don't know what to do. They're panicking. And their guide said, you have to act now. Time is now. Just start packing. Within 2 weeks, they found a house in the Freedom Land area that was circled, and they now write me and say, it's like they live in a magical space. It's like they literally went from 3D to 5D, and they are now surrounded by humpback whales that they see from just the coast, like literally sitting on the beach. The husband texted me the other day saying that they just saw a pod of dolphins that just swam by them by the sea. He's like, we're living in a completely different realm. So ironically, it's like they had to move. They had to uproot and literally move thousands of miles away, but it was literally living in like a 2D, 3D space to then 5D, and it was all within a year. So it's really fascinating how the guides work. I don't know if that answers your question, reason they were showing that.
No, that's brilliant. I know you have to be very careful of medium worship, which is what you call it, where people are actually ringing you up and going, Leah, what colour will I paint my house? What car shall I buy? What shopping shall I get? I remember speaking to a medium called John Alexander years ago in the UK, and he actually had to get an answer machine in, because there was women ringing him up all the time. What will I paint my house? What wallpaper shall I get? And he goes, you have free will. You have to make the choice. Don't keep asking spirit all the time. And yeah. And people have to be aware of that. Okay, another question from Critical Alley, and she says, does Leah feel the role of an EMF higher energy frequency like 5G and not to do with advancing technology but to mess up our natural connection to nature and allow demonic energies access?
Do I feel the EMFs?
Yeah, do you feel that 5G is a negative energy? That is actually for sinister means by the, obviously, cabal.
It's so hard because I've been down so many rabbit holes with that in terms of, like, some people believe it's Tesla in the U.S. Some people believe, because when we got our 5G installed during the lockdowns, everyone was freaking out. Some people were burning them. And then some people were saying that they're it's Tesla energy and it's going to help us. So for me, because I'm sensitive, meaning if I go to the grocery store, I can pick up stuff. So I was almost in a hibernation energy for a few months because of the EMFs around where I'm living. So, but I had to start getting my energy stronger so that I could not be so, let's say, pulled around by it. Where I live, though, I'm in nature. I have to go into the woods every day in order to clear. But I'm fortunate enough where I can literally be in, you know, 10, 20 acres without people around me. But where I lived in Miami, I would get bombarded by different energies. But I was lucky where I could just, for me, I would go to the ocean and be just submerge in it until I felt better. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't like to... It's hard because I try to stay neutral on like negative and positive, and like I don't believe the cabal is going to win this. I really don't. But I do get sometimes really sad of what's happening. So when I do get sad, I have to think, all right, well, there's a flip side, and maybe this is going to help people realize they are never going to give away their freedoms again. You know, I'm trying to balance that out because I can't get too low because then I don't work well. I don't do well if I start to go down a fear space of the cabal or all that. I just feel this is allowing us to see what we've been up against for thousands of years, and we're now just being shown and the light's being shined on them. So I think they're going to, you know, be, or we will elevate to not have to deal with them again.
Exactly. I think that's it's getting more to the case that more and more people are waking up and realizing what's mm-hmm. going on, and everybody's at different levels. Even people that might even tune into this show might have only just woke up last week and are new to the information. So we have to mm-hmm. remember that we have to give them our time, and just because they say they're awoke, you have to find out what part of the journey they're on. Because you don't want to give them too much high level information, they're not ready for it. But I think, yeah, you're right. You have to protect your own energy, get out to nature. And it is amazing, you know, for doing the odd walk, getting out to nature and just getting your head clear of the noise and everything else that goes on around you just for a walk. Not even playing music, just literally going mm-hmm. for a walk and just take your time. And it's something that... that I'm doing more on a regular basis. I have a question from Joan, and Joan wants to know, I keep noticing the number 444. Example, I could look at the clock and that is the time shown. Or I could be driving again and I could say 4.44, maybe once or twice a week. Any thoughts on why?
Oh my gosh, I believe the spirit realm even animal realm. I mean, there's so many symbolic energies that it's really, what does that mean for this woman? Like, if she's being shown this, does this mean for her to say, wow, I'm surrounded by unconditional love. Like, I'm in the presence of divine grace. Like, that's what I would think. But again, is it, maybe for her, it might be a warning, like 444, you know, pay attention, be more alert, or be grateful, be humble and say, well, I'm grateful for this time. I'm grateful that you remind me how blessed I am to be in a body and being able to breathe air and see the 444. I think it's really on an individual basis, but I saw a bear 2 weeks ago, and I I needed to know what the symbolic energy of seeing a bear meant. So I went and researched. So for me, it was perfect because I found what I was looking for. But I think it's really on an individual basis. For her, I would think it's being in the presence of divine grace, but she may see it different.
I think it's also recognized as a sign that you're on the right path, because it happens to me all the time. I get 1111, I get 222, or 2222, or 333, or, you know, a 2121. These are all the numbers that I get. And it's just funny, you know, when you have, say I put on the dishwasher and the dishwasher cycle is 3 hours, and I've been 2.5, 3 hours, and you just happen to walk in and the dishwasher goes 111.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that to me is telling me something, that I just happen to walk in, or else I wake up at night and I just happen to look at the clock and the clock will have 333.
And I go, it's like you're in alignment, right? You're in alignment with source.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's kind of source confirming that you're in alignment with them. So that's my understanding of that. And a lot of people are beginning to see that now. And it's not a case of you're looking for it. I'm not looking for it. I just happen to turn around and look at the clock or look at the dishwasher or something. And I go, oh, there you go, 1111 or whatever, you know. And it's part of being, as you say, being in alignment. And maybe we're going to see more and more of this as time goes on, because as the energies change and the ascension symptoms kick in, and people are feeling it. And we have to try and keep raising our consciousness level as much as we can. And I always say about, look at the six people around you, closest people around you, and do they add positivity or negativity to your life? And if it's negativity, then trying to keep them at as distance as much as you can. You know, because it's very hard, because the way things are with the economy, I see loads of spiritual people out there going, oh, but if you're in a relationship and the energy's not right, then it's time for you to move on. But they forget about the logistics of, maybe financially they can't. Maybe there's kids involved. Maybe there's other reasons why they can't do it. It's just a very throw-off statement by these people who don't seem to comprehend the fact that actually life's not that easy. There could be complications and other things involved that will stop that from happening. So maybe the spirit will know and say, right, at this moment in time, that's not possible. Just protect your energy. But when the time is right, then the time will be presented when you can do it. And so I think a lot of these spiritual people, and I'm excluding you, Leah, on this, these spiritual people, they come out and they say things like this, but they don't seem to have a clue about the logistics or the dynamics of what's going on. And it's a very throw-off statement. And I think, no, look, you know, there's more to it than that. Life's not that easy. You know, there's other things going on, especially with the whole COVID thing as well, which made loads of issues with family, because you got one half the family could be into getting the jab and the other half not getting into it. How did you get on with that anyway? I mean, when you were doing readings and speaking to people, how did that affect you and the people you were doing readings for?
Oh my gosh, that's an amazing question. Well, ironically, I would, a lot of times when I would do the energy scan through the, to check their person's chakras and aura, I would see a lot of people. The guides would say they need a heavy metal cleanse, they need a parasite cleanse, and then I would see a metal, almost, it looked like a plate going across their forehead. It was like a metal plate, and their pineal gland would be closed off. And so I would ask, oh, did they get the jab? And they would say yes, the guides. But then I would ask the person, did you get the jab? And they would say yes. And so I had a lot of that, but in the beginning, I actually would get sick. I would get nauseous. I would get a headache because I feel people's energies too. Sometimes it's more of a signal, but I had to learn that, okay, give me the signal for 5 seconds, but then let it go. I don't want to hold on to this. This is not mine. But I would get the pains that they were feeling or the suffering, or if they had a neck pain, I'd feel it. So, but with the COVID, I had to be very careful because I would feel awful for a day or two after reading for a few people that had gotten the jab, because sometimes they would call me the day after and say, I'm in extreme pain, or I don't feel good. I don't know why. So I had to learn quickly. We had to clear this quick. We had to help ask their guides to help clear them, to realign their DNA back to God's DNA. And so there were certain specific homework that these people had to do. But I noticed, too, a lot of people didn't want to hear that because they weren't ready to know that some of it was not in their highest good to get the jab. So a lot of people, one woman, she called me for her son. And she's like, my son's had headaches for months now. And they showed it was they said, well, whatever jab he got, it caused his blood to energetically looking to me, it turned black. And it said there's something wrong with his blood. He needs really to clean his blood. And she didn't like the fact that that was told to her.
Wow.
But anyways, the guides gave her specifics on how to clear stuff. So it was blessing for me because I made notes. I was like, okay, we need to, this is how you can clean someone's blood or energetically, but also with herbs and with, you know, certain algaes. So it was a blessing because I made notes and then I would go down. We have PubMed where you can study, you can read scientific literature. So I would go down these beautiful rabbit holes to find out how to help clean someone's body up. But for me, I had to learn the hard way that I was getting ill. And I was like, I don't think I can do this anymore. But I was like, nope, I'm not going to give up. I just had to do more homework on my end, which was fine because I realized, oh, it's making me stronger.
Very good. And, you know, people did report at the start of this, when you start getting the jab, that they felt disconnected from source, from God. And obviously that was probably the jab. And you said that their pineal gland was like a metal plate over it. So that was obviously what you were visualizing and seeing in saying that the connection has been you've been disconnected from source.
But I have to add, and I'm sorry if this may offend some people, but it's the truth. I stopped massaging people because I loved massaging people because I could do energy work and I could really do work. And I would be able to be in that energy high frequency realm while I was doing it. So it was like a good give and take because I'd feel peace and calm. So I had clients I had for 10 years and they were lovely clients. But I had to stop massaging because I knew the minute I touched them that they got the jab because they had an energy attachment on them and I couldn't clear it at that time. And it freaked me out because I normally could clear any energy attachment. Mm. And this energy attachment would say, no, I'm in the driver's seat. And that person's soul would be behind their body. And the energy attachment would be in charge and be the one steering the body. And it made me really nervous because I didn't know at that time what to do. I was like, well, am I allowed to clear you? Can I clear you? And I wasn't allowed. So it changed. You're right. It not just disconnected them to source, but it also made an attachment that was running the show.
Wow. Okay. And that's a bit worrying. So how are you fixed now for if anybody has had the jab and they want clearing? How are you fixed now to do it?
Oh, yeah. So now it's beautiful because the people just have to kind of get into a mantra and they have to ask to realign themselves to the source energy. So they're given specific homework. They're given specific mantras and then they're given certain symbols. Some people have symbols they have to put in on their, like, for example, their bathroom mirror. So that they can look at that on a daily basis just to remind themselves. And then it just takes a few weeks and they can reconnect and realign. This is not necessarily meaning they're going to be forever doomed. No, this is a beautiful way for them to reconnect.
Right. Okay. That's interesting because I'm sure there's probably a few people. Well, we know there's a number of people out there who are sorry that they got it and they'd like to get rid of it. And there's a way of doing it, you know, spiritually or physically using herbs, and that would be a good thing. I know Kim from UNN, I'll be having Kim on the show in a few weeks' time. I know her team at the Global Health Consortium have ways and means of doing that. So,
beautiful.
Have a question for you here from Critical Alley. Question for Leah. In her opinion, does coloured light like the light in churches and stained glass windows. I had an OBE in a church as a young child around 6 or 7. Every time around the colour amber, I get a very cozy, loving feeling. It may just be my imagination. She said the coloured light, does it raise the spiritual vibrations in the church, Tina?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, colour therapy is real. Colour therapy is beautiful. I mean, you can... some people that would wear the rose-colored glasses, like, it could change their mood immediately. But you can do a lot of healing with color. It's really, the stained glass, yes, it was given to the churches for more of a story, but it has such a beautiful energy. I'll just give an example. One client was told they needed to drink out of a certain color glass. Like, I think this person was blue, because they needed to calm their energy and give more of a water, like an ocean energy into their water, because they were very fiery. So they needed to literally drink from a glass that was blue. Some people were explained they had to leave the water in a yellow glass in the sun for a few hours to then drink it, because it was going to activate them in a certain way. So yeah, color is amazing, especially stained glass.
Yeah, color therapy and color treatment, I think that's used quite a lot in on the spiritual side anyway, especially for healing. CXZR015 on the chat room, we kind of answered this. Do you ever get information about people's past lives? Well, of course, the Akashic records do that.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just add to that, because sometimes people don't realize that, I'll just give myself an example. I had... neck pain since I was a young kid. And I didn't know why. I mean, I played a lot of sports and I had a lot of concussions, but like, this was a really serious neck pain where my chiropractors would be like, you're one of the hardest people to work on. And so I had to do a lot of past life clearing, because apparently, you know, as many people that were had empathic gifts, you know, they were hung or, you know, burned or all that. So I had to clear a lot of past lives of being hanged or choked. Because what happens is, if we don't clear it, or let's say if our body template brings it on and we haven't healed that part of us from a past life, we can feel it in this body, this new time around. And it's not necessarily from this lifetime. It can be from a past lifetime. So we're feeling this old energy that's not there from this life. It's from decades of lives before, or other ailments or other traumas. So that's the part we really need to clear, because it's almost like you need to honor it, but then let it go. And usually when we pass on in from lifetime to lifetime, usually when you go to source, you let go a lot of it, but there's still some residue for some people, not everybody, but for some people, residue from past lives.
Past life karma. Well, funny you should say that. I actually did some analyzing karma in the 3D world we're in now, not karma from a previous life, but 3D karma now, because I said to people before, I want to make sure that whatever I do, I don't want to pick up any more bad karma.
Yeah.
So I start analyzing it psychologically, and I said, right, okay. And it's more subjective than objective, because I don't have any research on it. So we'll call it subjective. So if I don't get a chance to do it tonight, I'll probably try and do it maybe next week on the show. I'll talk about it, because it gets you thinking on a psychological level about your karma and how you pick it up and how to avoid it. And it's all got to do with the flow of energy. And that's something that, because I'm always kind of analyzing psychologically about who we are, what we are, child mind, adult mind, and all that stuff. So I decided to analyze karma. I said, why do we always pick up karma? Like in this life, not previous karma, but in this life, what happens for us to do it? So I start analyzing it. So I do have it here on my list to talk about. So if need be, if not tonight, maybe next week, I'll talk about it and we'll get into it. But the karmic seed, exactly. Alba Weinman, and maybe this is something that you've done, Leah. I remember watching Alba Weinman talk to somebody. And I think, actually, was it Alba Wyman, or maybe it was in the book Journey of Souls, it's one of them anyway, there was regression used, and this woman kept having a pain in her eye, headaches on her eye all the time, and she couldn't understand why she was getting these migraine headaches in her eye all the time. So they regressed her and brought her back to her previous life, and they found out that she was killed with an arrow in her eye. And they actually did the clearing, and after that she was fine. So if I would say to people, if you are partial to doing some regression, or even speaking to you, Leah, if you're doing a reading, you can go back to, you can do their previous lives, can't you?
Yeah, I can. And that's sometimes the guides like to do that sometimes right away and say, you know, I had one client that he was electrocuted, and he, by family members and in a previous life. And this life, he was just, his energy was all over the place, and he had a temper, and so it was interesting because he had to give certain homework to calm that. But we had to clear that first before we could even give the session, because it was very traumatic, because it was from his family, but it was also, it got stuck in his body in this life. Yeah. So he would have a lot of headaches. He would have brain fog. He couldn't think during the day, and it was just really traumatic.
Yeah, and obviously that's the first probably reading that if somebody goes to you and gets a reading will be to clear any remnants of anything that's hanging around or old or attachments and everything. So clear all that out first before you move. You speak about the present or the future. Let's see, is there anything in the past? Is that what you'd recommend?
Well, yeah, usually I try to stay out of it because I like things to be done in a certain way, but usually the guides will, that's how the guides usually do it. But I just usually hand it over to them, and however they want it done, then I'm like, okay. But it's usually they like to go through all lifetimes, you know, past, present, future, you know, parallel lifetimes, dimensions, parallel dimensions, past, present, future. And they like to clear it all just like, boom, like not, we don't have to deal with this anymore. It's old news. Let's start fresh and move forward in a almost, sometimes they'll even, it's fascinating, they'll even unzip somebody's energy from this life and just give them a whole new energetic template because they're like, this is not serving you. We're just going to clear it completely.
Wow. And that's good to do that, to move on, to get all that cleared. I have a question here from Peter, and Peter wants to know, what do you think about Vogel crystal healing, where they all align a row of these colored crystals above your body while lying down on a bed?
That's an ancient way that they, from what I've seen in the Akashic realm, they've used crystal healing in that form for thousands of years, where they would put, to me, the way they showed it was the different colored crystals would be according to each chakra. And you lay down, and then the crystals are activating each chakra and clearing the chakra system. So, I've seen that in the Akashic. I've only seen it once or twice, in real life, like meaning on the computer. I haven't been in it, but it looks spectacular in the Akashic realm, the way they have it set up.
Yeah. I think the healing part, for me, I mean, I have a few kind of pyramids around here in the studio, and you know, again, I have to probably get more, I'd like to get more kind of crystals, put them in each corner of the house and stuff. Tourmaline, which you mentioned in the reading to me, I have to get some tourmaline, so I'll have to do that. But I was trying to think, you know, I have a local health shop where I live, but I'd need to go into a crystal shop or a shop that does crystals. I'll have to look around and see in my local area, because I think that would be good to just to soak up, because with the, you know, it's okay living in a healthy environment. You mentioned earlier about the couple living in a nice house, but as soon as they walk outside, it's like walking into 2D. And I think, you know, the environment you're in is so, can affect you. So your house might be great, but where you live, lucky enough, I'm out in the countryside. Now there is a mobile mast transmitter down the road for me. So I think what I'd like to do personally is to get a few crystals or something and put them on the window ledge in the four corners of the house to soak up that energy. What do you think I should do with that? Would that be the right thing to do?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, because especially too, the guides like to place certain things in certain homes just to make sure that well, this is interesting. They're showing this now. Some people that I got it mostly with a lot of people that touched people, like massage therapy or even nurses. They were told to put up a grid in front of their house, an energetic grid, and walk through it and have everything that is attached to them or that's not serving their highest good be left outside. But you can visualize that. Some people were told, even waterfalls of energy or certain colors, like colors, but to walk through a force field of different colors before they enter their home. That way, whatever they're absorbing outside that's not serving them, they can leave outside, and inside is completely different frequency.
Yeah.
So people can visualize a lot of this. I mean, I like to use crystals because the crystals can form a crystalline grid, but whatever. I feel people can tap into their intuition more and almost ask their higher selves and get an answer. But it's just, obviously it's easier sometimes to have somebody else, do it for them. Like for me, I try to do my own Akashic records, and it's just easier sometimes for someone else to read mine than me. I can do mine. It's just, just funny.
It's better. I know. I understand. The same with mediums. Mediums don't read themselves or the family members. It's easier if another medium actually does the reading. So I get that. I'd like to know, or if anybody in the chat room knows, what would be the best crystal to get to put in each corner of the house to soak up that negative energy. Now, I can normally do the gold ball. Mm-hmm. I put a gold ball around my house. And that's what I visualize. So anytime you walk into my house, and I had a neighbor of mine, a few weeks ago, my neighbor came in and she said, "Oh, it's lovely energy in the house," and that's great, because I don't know whether she's tuned into energy or anything. I don't think so, but she just picked up on it. But I'd like to get the four crystals in the corner of the house and just kind of protect it again. So if anybody in the chat room has whether it's quartz crystal or whichever crystal soaks up that negative energy from outside, I think I'd probably go for that. Joan wants to know, do you use shamanic healing?
Oh my gosh, it's all shamanic healing. All of this is healing. It's tapping into the divine consciousness. It's tapping into gifts that we all have access to. So shamans use this too. They just call it something different. I go directly to the Akashic records because I feel more free there to use different energy. Let me try to explain it. I like to be guided by somebody else's guide who I'm trying to serve. So they may have specifics that I may not know. I was told by one person's guide that they needed to start drinking watermelon juice, and I researched why, and it was because she was going through menopause and it was going to help the hot flashes. So I asked her, that's what the watermelon, does this resonate? And she said, I have the worst hot flashes. So I feel a shamanic energy can get to that same information, because it's accessible to all of us. But they may use a different technique or tool. So I feel it's all available for us. And, I just like to access it directly through the Akashic, because I have my own sixth sense that I get throughout the day, but I like to just make sure, let's just go straight to Akashic record energy and just make sure, because I don't want something else to, let's say, give me information that may not be the highest frequency. It might be a high frequency, but I go to the Akashic to get the highest, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Do you actually teach how to do this?
You know, it's funny you say that. I was thinking about it recently because I feel it's so beautiful. And if somebody can, if it's like a ripple effect, I've been thinking about it more because I just thought so many people would do so well with this. And if they have access, they can help their family members or friends. And I'm thinking about it more. I've only done it once for a personal client, but I'm thinking about maybe doing it because I think, oh gosh, it's just a beautiful space to be in. Why not? Why wouldn't other people want this?
Well, I think that would come back to you in droves by doing that. And to be honest with you, I would be actually interested in talking to you about that, Leah, because I ran my own spiritual circle for a number of years. When I lived in London, I got involved in the spiritual side when I lived in London. And when I came back from London, I realized there was no real spiritual circles around, very few. So I actually set up my own based on my circle in London, and I ran that for a few years, and it was good fun.
Wow.
Not saying that you need to have that qualification or you need to do it, but just to say that kind of I'm aware, and I would like to kind of, if you are thinking about it, dip my toe in the water of being able to do that for people, and just to see if that could be part of my journey as well, to actually learn how to do that and again help people in that way. So you put me on your list, will you?
Okay.
And maybe we'll have a one-on-one, you know, and have just a private chat. And then, you know, maybe we can, again, do an exchange of energy or do something where we can help each other in some way or form. I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe that's something that we might have to do. I might have to do a reading with you, and they might have to tell me. They might say, Alan, yeah, that's not where you want to go. That's not what we want you to do. Or they might turn around and go, yeah, Alan, that's happy. We're happy for you to do that. It'd be good getting that kind of confirmation, because then I don't want to waste your time or my time doing that, you know?
Right. That sounds lovely.
Okay, now I have another question for you here. And the question is, I'm just looking for it here. Do you know about the Georgia Guidestones, and if you feel it was an inside job, or was it karmic reaction and a message to the globalists?
I mean, I feel, when I saw it, I had a beautiful, I felt excited and happy. So for me, I feel, when I felt so excited and happy, I feel it was more of a direct energy weapon that was from the good guys, let's say. So that's what I felt when I first saw it. Have I opened my records and asked? No, but I could maybe one of these days, because I just felt a good feeling when I saw it. So I usually go with the first hit. But again, one of my friends, I should have opened. I did a session for a girlfriend yesterday, and we should have asked that question in the session. But it was going on 2 hours, so we just had so much information coming. But I guess I could. I should open someone's records and ask. But I just felt a good feeling from it. I felt a sense of relief, and I felt the. I don't know if people are aware, there was a lot of satanic rituals done on top of it. And a lot of bloodshed there. So I felt like those souls were able to be released into the light. And maybe too, I could probably do this later today. Just kind of open my records and feel the energy around it and release any of the souls that might need to be, led to the light. Cause there was some dark stuff that happened there.
Yeah, no, that would be good to kind of clear it down. See, I like the idea of what the work that you do and tuning into Akashic Records, and it's like you're not attached to it. You're just passing. Mm-hmm. You're the messenger, which is what a medium kind of is. But you're not. It's not really mediumship, and it's not really channeling. You're given the records from the Akashic Records, and you're passing on the information. And I kind of like that, you know, because there's a degree of separation there, which is really good. And and I don't know. Again, as I say, we'll have to talk about it. And maybe, I mean, if you are thinking about it, then I'd like to talk to you about that.
It will be so much fun. Honestly, I think even if people just take the workshop, like it's usually a few days of just learning and feeling how, when you're in the Akashic realm versus when you're not, just feeling comfortable in it. But even if you just get to feel that for a few days, it's kind of, for me, it's just like, oh, it's just so beautiful. It's just a lovely experience. Even if you don't do it for a career, it's just lovely to be in it. Kind of like how you journeyed into the 5D realm. You just loved the gift of being there.
Yeah, well, if the energy's good, and again, if it's service to others, if I can help people with it, and then happy days, that's really what my interest in, service to others, and to be able to give them a reading, because everybody's feeling really down at the moment with everything that's going on. And you know it's not as if, like, I wouldn't be looking at it from a business point of view. I think just helping people generally, I think, would be give them a boost, you know, and just to, you know, just to cheer them up if there's any good news, or just to kind of guide them. Because that's the kind of whole idea of the spiritual side. You know, we'll have to see where we go with that. But Leah, we've reached that time, and it's been fantastic talking to you. And a big thank you for again, doing the reading for me, off your own back, just suggesting it. You know, you're the only one in 12 years that actually came back and said that. Now, I'm not poo-pooing the other people I've had on the show. They have given me a reading, and that's fine. But the fact that you just came back and the first thing you said was, "Do you want a reading before the show?" You know, it was just so nice for you to, you know, be like service to others and have no ego and to say that. And I do appreciate that. I admire that.
Oh my God, that warms my heart. I'm just so grateful and honored, and I thank you. Thank you for acknowledging that. But I didn't even notice. But I just am so honored to be in the realm that I'm like, oh, I could just spend all day here. So thank you.
No, that's brilliant, and I appreciate it. And again, the reading was very interesting, and the information that came through, and I've taken that on board. So where can people find you? What's your website, and where can they track you down if they want to talk to you about reading or anything like that?
Yeah, so I have a website. It's www.leahraylight, and that's spelled LEAHRAYLIGHT.com. So I usually just have people, there's a calendar there where people can, they can pick just time and then the date. I usually just have people find the time and we can do whatever they want. Like I have specifics on the website just to explain what I do, but usually people just kind of want it all in one little bundle. So I just let people know, just pay for the time and we will work on whatever you need. And for people that are overseas, like my clients in Australia, I call them through WhatsApp, but I find a lot of people like to get the recording. So I'm going to try to figure out more on like either the Skype or Zoom, because people like to hear it over and over, because some people have had a session last year and then they read it, they listen to it again a year later and they say, oh my God, this is exactly this, all this came true. Like this was what, it just gives them validation. So they trust the guides and their intuition even more.
But this is it. And it, a lot of it, when you're getting readings, you know, first and foremost, the validation should come in. And I think that's very important for any reading. That, you know, again, instead of saying, you know, because some mediums in the UK, we were trained, you know, use CERT, certify, evidence, reason, terminate.
Oh, right.
You know, and and that's a great way to train. And some mediums will say, well, I have your grandfather here and he has gray hair. Yeah, most of them do. You know, that's just too vague. Where if you have a validation where, oh, well, he's got a wooden leg, four medals, a pipe, and he's wearing the suit, you know, I mean, then you go, okay, well, that's my grandfather, because, you know. So I think the whole validation thing is very important at the start of a reading, for any reading. So people can go, yeah, okay, this person, I didn't tell them anything, but yet they validated the energy that's come through. And it's a great way to kind of get confidence and for people to be assured that the information coming through is correct. But a big thank you, Leah. Appreciate, thank you for coming on. Just stay with me there for a minute. We're just going to go off to a musical break and we'll be back after this.
Thank you. I'm so honored. I'm so grateful. Thank you.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
Okay, folks, sorry for the extended music break there. We had a little bit of a technical glitch with Skype acting up. So we've just called in the mobile phone techies and we're going to be doing the interview over the mobile phone. I just hope I'll put it up to the microphone so you can hear it. But let me give you an introduction to Sifu Nick Costello. Now, there's a few funky names in the bio here, so if I get it wrong, I'm sure Nick will probably get me to get them you pronounce them right. We have Sifu Nick Costello, Buddhist name Karma Walsa, started Kung Fu in 1973 and became a Sifu, which is a master, in 1982 with KC Tsang of London. He went to Hong Kong to train with Grandmaster Chi Chung Sigong. He was adopted by Grandmaster Chi Chung and was asked to carry on with the dragon sign Kung Fu Lu Ying. In 1988, Sifu Costello bought a team of 10 Jing Central China to represent Ireland in Wuxi kung fu exhibitions. During this time in London, he trained with J.J. Wong, a famous Tai Chi master. He also trained under a Wuxi Tai Chi master who came to Ireland for 1 year with the help of the Chinese embassy. Sifu Costello was the first person to bring Tai Chi to Ireland in the late 70s. He was made president of the Irish Wushu Association, which is registered with the Ta Wushi Association, Beijing, China, and the International Wushi Organization headquarters in Paris. He joined the Qigong Association in early 2000 and was invited to join the Ta Wu Qigong Association North Point, Hong Kong, under the leadership of Mr. Lau and Sifu Chi, hope I get the names right, the Buddhist-based Tai Wu Association being one of the largest Qigong associations in the whole of China. The Liu Ying Association was awarded charitable in 2009 because of the work they do with different charities and healing. Because the Liu Ying Kung Fu was originally a Buddhist principle, Buddhist teachers are practiced but not enforced. This is also true of the Qigong. If one wishes to carry these teachings any further, they need but ask. The Liu Ying Academy built the Shaolin Temple in Slane to honour Qigong Grandmaster, whose dying wish was to bring the original principles of the dragon to the world in its original format, which was and is a Buddhist-based format. Good evening, Nick. How are you doing?
Hi, Alan. You've done your homework, haven't you?
Well, I try and kind of fill in the listeners as much as I can about the background of the guests before we get them on. And at the moment, I'm kind of holding the mobile phone up to the microphone so people can hear because of obviously the Skype issues there. But, you know, it's funny, Nick. How did a young lad from the Liberties end up in Hong Kong being taught by a grandmaster?
Yeah, well, I can blame it on my father. My father was a very famous boxer back in his day. He went through five different categories, the weight categories, unbeaten. And he always wanted me to get stuck into the boxing, which I liked and I didn't like. I was walking with my father carrying bags of coal since I was 7 years of age. And carrying coal on your shoulder, it makes you very strong. And when I was in the ring, I was hurting too many people, didn't like it at all whatsoever. So I had to disappoint my father. But later on in life, I looked into joining something just so I could have a conversation with my father about that type of stuff. So I found the Kung Fu, which I thought was Kung Fu in Dublin at the time. Turned out it was more cowboy stuff, but that's neither here nor there. At least it got me into it. And from there then I found my people in London and then carried on to Hong Kong. So that's basically how I got into it.
Well, I can't stop thinking about the whole Steven Seagal thing, because when he was 17, he seen this old guy doing Aikido and he was amazed at it, and he ended up over in, I think it was Japan, I think, learning it. And I kind of equate that story to you, you know, a young lad from the Liberties going over and doing Kung Fu. Now, there's a few myths about Kung Fu and about the whole Shaolin thing, and you told me a few of the things, and the things that you said was, you know, you see these Shaolin guys, they have a spear to their neck, and people are amazed that they can bend a spear, but you said that it's actually got to do with the bone in your collarbone. Do you want to give us a...
I want to be very careful what we're talking about that particular one, because you're going to have young girls going down and trying their land, so it probably wouldn't be a good example to talk about over the radio. But look, it's all training. It's all conditioning, it's all training.
Yeah, and I totally agree. I mean, people who don't know what they're doing shouldn't be doing any of this at all. It's down to training, and you have to be trained, and it's very disciplined. Now, obviously, you do the Kung Fu. So tell us, is there a difference between, there's different styles of Kung Fu. What's the difference with your style compared to other styles out there?
Well, the style of Kung Fu that we do is called Lung Ying Dragon Sign Kung Fu. As an original Shaolin, which comes from the temples in China at the time, it is a combination of Buddhist principles and Taoist principles. Now, originally the Kung Fu was taught by Taoist people, and I'll give an example. Tai Chi is purely Taoist, but when the Kung Fu come in, a person called Buddha Rama, who was one of Buddha's students, brought the Kung Fu into China. And when he met the monks in the temples, in the Taoist temples, he changed everything around. So it became known as a dark enigma, which means there was a mystery. They didn't know what was going to happen when they put the Taoists and the Buddhists together. But both are very compatible.
Okay.
So, but the Buddhists start teaching them the reason as to why the people from... He come from North India in Nepal. Mm. And they were treating the movements totally different. Now, they are self-defense movements, but primarily... They are to do with nature and the universe first and foremost. The martial arts and the things come secondary.
Okay. And one thing you said, that there's no belts and there's no grading and no fighting.
No. We teach the students how to fight, but we don't do competitions.
And is there a reason because of that?
Well, we believe that to compete against your fellow man, you're saying to the... You're saying to your brother or sister, I'm better than you and I'm going to prove it. And I don't mind hurting you, to prove my point.
Mm.
Now, I read a book years ago. It was called Walkabout. It was about an American lady that went to Australia. She had a dream to go to Australia. And when she landed in Sydney Airport, there was some Aborigines there with a name on a piece of cardboard. And she ended up going with them. And they had chanted her to come over. It's a very good book, actually, to try and get. It's called Walkabouts.
Mm.
So she went with them on their walkabouts, and they had her stripped naked, gone around like they did, and she didn't get sunburned because they told her how to get sunburned, how not to get sunburned. And they told her many, many other things. But one evening, the children start playing with a bit of a twig or something, and they're kicking her around the place. And she said to them, "Is this your sport?" And she said, "Well, we play with one of them, but we don't have sport." And she says, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, in your country, you have, in a stadium, you might have 80,000 people. So let's say 40,000 of those are winners, 40,000 are losers. Mm. How does anybody win?"
Yeah.
Why would you send 40,000 people home feeling dejected and thinking that they're losers? That's not a game.
Mm.
That's control.
Yeah.
That's what they said. That's control. We need you to go back and tell your people about this. Stop trying to control one another.
It reminds me of the Native American saying where they say, if it's not good for everybody, it's not good.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Excellent. That's excellent.
You know, I always kind of remember that because that means the benefit for the people. So, you know, I have to say, I was amazed and pleasantly surprised coming across the Shaolin Temple in Slane. I didn't even know you existed. And then obviously when you go in, it's all very oriental and very, yeah, very. I mean, the amount of work that you've done and what you have there is quite impressive. And I know that one of the things that I want you to tell people about is what you're planning to do with the Kung Fu nuns. Tell us what's happening with them.
Well, there's a group of nuns in Nepal. They're called the Drukpa nuns. That's D-R-U-K-P-A. Drukpa means dragon in Nepalese. And I found them on YouTube, and I got in touch with them. And I teach, as I was saying, we teach her dragon kung fu. I'll explain about the dragon in a few minutes to you. But there is a sect in Buddhism. It's called Dragon Buddhism. It's called Drukpa. Now, I got in touch with them, and they were practicing a thing called Wushu, the thing that I had brought my students over to China at that particular time. But we gave that up at that time. But they're doing the Wushu. So I asked them, would they like to learn the Dragon Kung Fu? And they were over the moon. They heard about it, but couldn't find anybody that would actually teach them.
Okay.
So just before the lockdown, there were supposedly 7 of them come over here. And they were supposed to arrive here on the 18th of April 2001. And that's when they closed everything down.
Yeah. And obviously, let's clarify, when we call them Kung Fu nuns, I know people are getting the impression of these nuns dressed up and, you know, and they just do Kung Fu. But you said the amount of work that engineers and the things they do is phenomenal. Tell us what they get up to.
They are there. You see, what they do, the kung fu is there to protect. I'll explain the word kung fu now to you in a few minutes. But the word kung fu means to protect and to help and to share. Now, these nuns do exactly that. That's what we try and do here in their temple. They do exactly that. They go out and heal. They go out and teach. When the, if there's an earthquake, which are quite a landslide, which are quite a lot in Nepal, they go out and they help people to rebuild the village. They rebuild bridges. They're all electronic, solar panel engineers, construction engineers, carpenters and bricklayers. They're unbelievable people, and all young girls. Unbelievable people.
Fantastic. And the other thing, the principle I liked with what you offer, Nick, is that you said that people who are in pain or are in bad health, you're happy to treat them for free because it's part of the your principles.
That's our responsibility.
Yeah.
Taking that and showing them, Buddhas, that's your responsibility to go and help.
Mm.
That's the whole. That's one of the ideas. When you learn about Kung Fu and you learn about the energies of it, the energies are there to help people and to protect and to help. And that entails healing. So we teach people how to heal themselves as well.
Yeah, no, and that's very important. And funny enough, we were talking about that earlier with the guest I had on earlier about learning to heal and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of very important. And are you seeing more and more people walking away from the whole corporate world and just deciding to get more spiritual, get more energy and understand things a bit better about nature and how things work?
Yeah, that is true. That is true. But, you know, it is a shame, really, because, I mean, people are walking away from the corporate world, but they're also walking away from their old religions and stuff, right? They'll be left with nothing. But that sort of brings a lot of people around them and sort of take advantage of that. So people want to be careful what they're doing.
Well, tell us what's important, and because you said you're the first person to bring Tai Chi and Kung Fu to Ireland, and you've been doing it a long time. What words of advice can you give people who are interested in pursuing either Kung Fu, Tai Chi, or any kind of modalities that you're doing?
Like, you want to ask themselves the first question, why do they want to do it? Is it for their inner self or their outer self? If it's the outer self, it's to do with vanity and violence and arrogance. Mm. If it's the inner self, it's for spirituality and health.
Mm.
So you want to ask yourself those two questions first. Why do I want to do this?
Mm. Very good.
Is it because I can punch faster, or I can throw fancy kicks up in the air, and people think I'm great?
Mm.
That's vanity. That's just pure vanity. Mm. That's not the reason why Kung Fu is there.
Yeah.
The word Kung Fu means quality.
Mm. Vanity and ego.
Quality. I'll give you an example. When Michelangelo was painting the Sistine Chapel, he was using Fu. His brush strokes are of great quality. When you get a carpenter or a cabinet maker making a beautiful cabinet, he uses Fu, or she uses Fu.
Mm.
So the word Fu means quality. Now, we teach how to think, how to move, how to make shape. So that has to be of a very good quality. Now, the reason for that being is the original thought which come from the creation to create this universe had to have clarity of thought, but had to have movement coming into shape to produce all of this. So we imitate those principles in the Kung Fu.
Very good. And you mentioned the dragon there. What's the point with the dragon? You said you wanted to mention that.
The dragon is a representative of the movement of the energy coming into shape. It represents how the trees move, how the leaves are shaped, how water moves, how the vapor rises from the sea to the sky. Everything to do with movement and shape. The dragon represents that.
Fantastic. And what's it? I mean, there's obviously other Tai Chi and schools around in Ireland. You mentioned there, obviously, you have to do the research. But your style, it seems to me that your style seems to be a very old style. And it, because of that, it seems to be more kind of genuine.
Well, okay. It is the original form of Tai Chi. It has changed over the years because of different people going off doing a month or 6 months or a couple of classes, then going teaching themselves. To stick to the original form of Tai Chi is quite difficult.
Mm.
Mm. When you've been there yourself, you see how difficult it is.
Mm. Yeah,
it
very.
It was quite difficult. Mm. But it's to do, again, it's to do with shape. If the foot is in the wrong position, or the stance is too long or too wide or on the wrong angle, you don't attain chi.
Mm.
But we put every movement in the Tai Chi and the Kung Fu is about creating the shape through thought and then movement. So yeah. if that shape is even 1 inch offline, you don't have chi.
Yeah, I definitely don't have chi. I'm pretty crap at it, to be honest with you. Yeah, no, I'd need an awful lot of work. There's a question here. John wants to know, obviously, you do. She wants to know, do you run classes? And, of course, you do run classes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
We teach the Kung Fu, the Tai Chi, and the Qigong.
So you need to tell people, they need to go to you and say to you what they want to do, because there's different styles.
Yeah, there's different things that we do, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Qigong, we have to treat that with the greatest of respect. Mm. So we ask people to make an appointment with us, and we sit them down and speak to them to make sure they know what they're getting themselves into, and make sure they know what it is.
Okay.
Meditation classes on Saturdays, and that gives people some from between 1 and 3. They're free of charge. We don't charge for that. We don't have a franchise from the universe for all of those things. But we teach people in the meditation, first of all, what meditation is about, and then what the Qigong is about.
Mm.
When people come up to join the Tai Chi, we also sit them down and we have a good time with them. In the Kung Fu, there's a bit of a test you've got to do before we do the Kung Fu. But that's a different matter altogether.
Okay.
This is old traditional way of joining these things, you know?
Yeah. Joan has a question here in the chat room, and she wants to know, has your guest ever heard of T. Lom Sang Rampa?
No.
No. Sorry, Joan. He hasn't heard of that at all.
It could be
my pronunciation. I probably butchered your bio there with the names there on your bio at the start. So yeah, the pronunciations are probably all wrong. Well, brilliant, Nick. Listen, thanks a lot for coming on the show. Thanks for just giving us a quick heads up on the temple. Now, for people who want to know more, give out your details and the location of the temple and anything that you want to add to let them know.
All the information is on www.kungfu.ie. It's a very easy one to remember. And all of the principles that we teach is on that website, and you can get in touch. But please do. And if you know if anybody is in need of help, don't be afraid to get in touch.
Brilliant stuff. And again, do you know what your plans are, or what date you're planning for the Kung Fu nuns to come over? Because people can go along to that, can they?
We will have an open day for them, yes. We will be creating an open day. Actually, we were at the family house last Sunday. The people from Nepal have their own association in Ireland, and they had a day open family house at Finnish Park last Sunday, and we did lion dance and dragon dance for them. So they're sending some of their dancers up and singers up to come up and do a day for the nuns as well. So when they come over, so it should be a good day. We probably leave that an open day for everybody as well.
And that will be on your website as well to let people know when that's going to happen.
That will definitely be after Christmas.
After Christmas, okay.
Yes.
I suppose with all the palav at the moment, you're fundraising as well, obviously. So yeah, so that's something that we'll need to, you know, carry on until you have the funds to do that. But that's brilliant. Well, Nick, thanks a lot for coming on and telling us about the actual the Shaolin Temple in Slane. Again, something I didn't even know was there, and you were there 25 years. It's just amazing how much we don't know.
Yeah, well, there you go. Thanks, Alan.
That's brilliant. Cheers, Nick. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you later. Take care.
God bless you. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. So there you go. That was Nick, Sifu Nick Costello from the Shaolin Temple in Slane in County Meath. He's been there for 25 years, and I've been down there with Nick, and it's very oriental and it looks fantastic. He's done a brilliant job down there. And you can learn different modalities, different styles and principles. Check out the website kungfu.ie. And as I say, Nick said, there's going to be a show on with the Kung Fu Nuns coming over from Nepal. So that's going to be interesting. Very traditional, very interesting. So if you're into all of that, by no means go over to the website and check it out. You can find it out there. Okay, so sorry that there wasn't on Skype and the audio quality wasn't great. We just had a little bit of an issue with the Skype, but at least we got on the mobile phone anyway, so it's not too bad. But just to give you an update of what's out there, if people are thinking of taking up Tai Chi and or Kung Fu, I managed to get through quite well with the with my cough, so that's I'm quite happy with that. That's quite good. Okay, folks, so we've a few minutes left. My guest on the show next week is a lady called Nori Love. Now, remember that we had Aggie Nost on the show. We had Aggie on twice, and Nori Love is his co-host on his show. And so we'll be bringing Nori Love on, and she does regression, but she regresses her patients to the future and finds out what's going on with the future with them and a few other things as well. So that's going to be interesting to find out how she does it and what goes on and what information she's found out. So we'll speak to Nori next week. For myself, take it easy. Have a good week. The weather apparently is going to be good, so that means that I have a bit of work to do outside. A bit of cementing and a few other bits. So, yeah, have a great week. And, you know, we'll catch you next week. If you have any information of interest, send it over to me or contact us at circlewhitelight.com or any guests that might be of interest. And if I can get them on, that'd be great. We'll email them and see what we can do. But have a good week. Take care, folks. And we'll catch you later. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio on circleofwhitelight.com, focusing on solutions and thinking different.